Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Friday to you, and I hope you're having a great day today. We're looking forward to the Lord's Day on Sunday. We're looking forward to great services here. 9:30 for Sunday school and Bible classes. 10:30 is our morning service. 5:30 Sunday evening service. And our Spanish church meets identical times. Any Hispanic folks that you know, we would love to invite them out to the Spanish services today as well, or this Sunday as well. And we hope you can come and be with us. We'd love to have you be our guest. Now, if your Bible's nearby, I want you to go to Zechariah, next to last book of the Old Testament. We started talking yesterday, and I urge you to go back and listen to that broadcast. And that is, we're talking here of Zechariah chapter 5 about two different visions that God gave to Zechariah here in chapter 5. We mentioned the first vision in the first four verses about the scroll that was flying through for about two specific sins that God is going to judge: stealing and lying. And they go together. And evidently, this was something going on with the people that God said, I'm not going to let slide. I'm not just going to look the other way. I will judge this. And the other was the wickedness that they had brought with them from Babylon. That was a goddess, false gods. And that goddess is wickedness. We're learning from our studies on Wednesday night, these idols and these, the Baals and the Ashtaroths, they're evil spirits. They're the dark messengers of the enemy. So God sends that back to Babylon where it came from. And of course, that's not a necessarily a great thing, but it's the right thing, and it's going to make Babylon angry probably. But he's dealing with their relationship with him. Now, we talked about these two visions, and we say, okay, what does it have to do for us? You say, Brother Slaybaugh, why are you sharing this, but what God told Israel 2,500 years ago? Well, here it is. They address, these two visions address the all-inclusive realms of our life. You say, what are these? Our relationship with one another, that deals with the stealing and the lying, and our relationship with God, which has to deal with the image of the idol in the basket. Those are the two things Jesus said were the essentials for our life, right? First and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second's like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Love God and love others. And so we have an obligation to keep with God. God takes sin, even little sins, like we would consider lying at times, extremely seriously. They matter to God, and God punishes sin. Why is that so hard for us to understand? Why is that so hard for us to comprehend that we think punishment is an opposite to love and forgiveness? But that's because we've been brainwashed by the world's thinking and philosophy for a couple generations now. We don't understand the relationship between punishment and love. We see them as opposites. We see them as contradictory. We see them as mutually exclusive. But how did we get to the point where we think love is letting somebody off the hook, while punishment means you're hard-hearted and refuse to forgive? How did we get to the place where that young man we spoke of early yesterday said, I can do whatever I want to, it doesn't matter, because God will always love me and forgive me? There's something important here, because we believe that punishment and love are incompatible, and we believe then that it doesn't matter how we live because God will just love us and forgive us, then we will quickly embrace sin. We pull the lid back and let something grotesque run rampant through our lives or our communities. Wickedness, idolatry, that we're worshiping something other than God who loved us and saved us, even if we're worshiping our own free will, then we've gone against God. And we think God will just let that go. Oh no, God won't let that go, my friend. God's way is much better than our way. And when we choose sin in our way instead of God's way, the result is always death. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Not because God swoops in and crushes us like some cosmic vindictive meaning, getting us back for doing stuff he told us not to, but death because we turned away from God. God is life. And those choices we make will end robbing us of life and beauty and truth. God, in his infinite goodness and love, steps in when we make the wrong choices and punishes us, chastens us, so that we can see that our choices are wrong and we'll make other choices. We'll choose life instead of death. I'm not leaving out grace when I talk about sin and punishment. I'm not leaving out God of the second chance, as we spoke about. That grace of God on us is not cheap grace. Sin is always punished. Now, we know the wages of sin is death, and that's separation from God, and that's been paid for by Jesus. But listen, cheap grace is when we say that, well, okay, it was all paid on Jesus now, and I don't have to do anything. I can live any way I want, and God will still forgive me and take care of me and be good to me. No, you're abusing God's gift. Real grace is the God of the universe, the Lord of glory, completely holy and pure, stepping into time and into the world, and willingly laying down his life on two pieces of wood. Willingly accepting nails piercing his skin, willingly enduring mockery, torture, humiliation, anguish, and even death in my place. Grace doesn't say, forget it, no big deal. No, grace says, it is a big deal. It must be punished. Sin must be atoned for. And I love you so much that I'll endure this horror and this anguish and this pain so that you might be saved from it. What do we see when we look into the face of Jesus on the cross? Do we see that sin doesn't matter? Do we see that sin is no big deal? Do we see that it doesn't matter how we live? Or do we see a face of such deep love for us that we can no longer imagine living in a way that would take his love for granted? Do we see the depth of love that creates within us a deep desire to return that love, to give our lives in obedience and humility and service to Christ and his kingdom? No, these two visions, they challenge us, they confront us, they force us to ask some tough questions. How is my love for God? How is my love for others? Are we living lives of sin? Are we fighting to live lives of holiness and the power of God? It's life or death, my friend. It either embraces Jesus' death for us and accepts it with gratitude and express that gratitude and obedience to him, or it makes a mockery of his death for me. And it doesn't just impact my life, but impacts the lives of people around me. Are you living a holy life, or are you playing with sin? Oh, I'm not talking about an occasional sin that happens to all of us, that when we recognize it, we confess it and forsake it, and God forgives and has mercy. No, I'm talking about the ones we've accepted, the sins that we've gotten used to. In fact, we nurture and feed them, even cherish them. God says those break his heart. They mock Jesus dying on the cross, and they're robbing us of a life that God intended for us to have. God loves you and me so much, my friend, that he'll punish those sins so we can learn and choose differently. Oh, pursue holiness through a renewed love for Jesus Christ. Take out the garbage of your life and come to Jesus in love with Jesus, looking unto Jesus, and sin loses its appeal. Sin loses its allure. Sin loses its control over us. And you know what takes its place? Love, power, holiness, life abundant. So what do you do with this message? Ignore it? Do you feel guilty and depressed and defeated? Or will you embrace it? Will you fix your eyes on Jesus and the depth of his love for you and ask him, fill my life with holiness, that I might be pleasing to you? One pastor tells about a man in his church who was owner of a local business. Paul once said that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Well, this man in his church bore the marks of Jesus on his life. His wife was one of the more annoying women that this pastor had ever known, and she was chronically ill, and her sickness had made her a pretty bitter woman. She demanded almost all of this man's time and energy. and she was never grateful for a single thing he did for her. She complained about life, and she complained about him. For his part, the pastor told, he didn't know how he did it. But the husband remained gentle and serene and had the utmost patience with this woman. He never spoke ill of her. He never sighed under the burden of criticism. He was truly a man of God. He had a relationship with God, an intimacy with God that was not showy, but was obviously evident. If life had not rewarded him with outward happiness, he was deeply, inwardly joyful. God was his portion, and he was satisfied. How could he do it? How could he be so patient and kind and committed to the welfare of his wife despite her ingratitude? I'll tell you how. He was in covenant with his wife, but in covenant with God. And the pastor said, here's what I learned from him. This man partnered with God in his process of sanctification. In other words, this man's highest interest was not in being happy in some conventional way. No, he said the longing of his heart was to be the kind of person God wanted him to be. And God has to work on a person to make him like he wants him to be. What did this man do? He yielded to God's program of overhaul in his life. God uses suffering and adversity. The old hymn writer was right when it says, when through fiery trials my pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. That's what this man wanted. He wanted his dross to be consumed. He wanted his unloving tendencies to be burned in the fire of affliction, his gold to be refined, his character refashioned to be like that of his Lord. You understand, live, L-I-V-E, spelled backwards, is evil. And most men and women today are living their lives backwards. And the result is society is filled with unspeakable evil. Something has to happen to get us turned around and going back in the right direction. But it's not something that needs to happen. It's someone. It's someone. It's the Lord Jesus. Put him first, and all these things will be added unto you. Doesn't God just want me to be happy? No, my friend. God desires that you be holy. And if I'm holy, I will be happy. Because that's what God's happiness is, being what God wants me to be. Let's follow the advice of Zechariah. God wants me holy so I can be happy. I hope you'll take that message to heart today. I hope it's been a blessing to you the last couple days and opened up a little bit of the prophecy of Zechariah. Have a great Friday, okay? We'll look forward to seeing some of you in the church service on Sunday, and others of us will come back for our broadcast, Lord willing, on Monday. Till then, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.